to the Power Hour on Verb Moto.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Prepare to get annihilated with an awesome opportunity. Featuring your favorite motocross brand, Verb Moto. Win a grand prize of a Yamaha Wolverine R-Max 2 1000 Sport. Two 2024 Yamaha TTR 110E motorcycles. And $20,000 cash. But wait, there's more. There's also additional weekly prizes. New merch, pocket-breaking prizes, our pockets, definitely not your pockets. The more you buy, the more points you earn. We're stacking points, baby. Come get them. Visit shopverb.com for more or dial 1-800-VERB-MOTO. That's not a real number. Don't call us, please. No purchase necessary. Rules and regulations apply. See shopverb.com for official rules.
Get the show on the road.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Power Hour here on the Verb Pod Network. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. We just took some time to listen to the full rundown of all things Dream Stakes. You're not going to want to miss out on that. So go to shopverb.com, get your merch, because Lord knows it was out of stock for about 15 years or so. But it's back in stock now. And if you purchase some, you're going to have entrance to win. All of the details are on the Dream Stakes tab on the website, verbmoto.com. Like I said, I'm your host, Brad Gebhardt, with me, not in studio. Not right now, anyway, but we're working towards that. The one, the only, the man with the golden voice himself, Zach Heron.
What is up? Yeah, one of these days, the in-studio Power Hour is going to be Power Hours, plural, because there's no way once we get started in person, we're going to be able to shut that thing off. But
oh, yeah.
No, man, glad to be here, and it's an exciting week, man. I am very excited. I was just talking to you about it off camera. This weekend, folks, it is time. The World Mini is here. It is back. It is bigger. It is better than ever. I've got the man, the myth, the legend, Kevin Kelly, going to be up in the tower with me. I've got the empty notepad right here. I'm ready. Start schooling me. All right. Guys got amateur motocross experience out the wazoo. And so I'm ready to be back. I'm ready to be over on the West Coast, man. See if it's the best coast. I'm talking on two wheels and off two wheels as well. But, it's going to be a ton of fun, man. Like we said, April 4th through the 7th. Of course, if Verb's involved, we're doing it big, but then you combine that with the top notch facility that is Mesquite MX. And there's a reason that the Kiefers, right? Chris and Aiden both, they're coming. They're dropping some gates. Pulp MX going to hang out with us. Not sure yet whether or not he's rocking that blue crew or not, but I know a lot
it's
of people
white
are trying
crew
to talk
now.
To him.
He's rocking crew, the 50 year anniversary white, right?
Retro
white
down.
Crew. I think he's practice boy. Like he's going to come Maybe. Out and he's going to spin some laps. So I don't
he's
think you're going to have to dust off the vocals for that, but.
Ooh, he's going to get in their head is what he's going to do. He's going to have everybody all spun out because they're going to think, man, I don't want to get second to this guy. But nonetheless, man, it's going to be a great weekend of racing. If you're not already, you got to be following Mesquite's Instagram. They've got everybody as far as big hitters go. We got Jadon Cooper going to be with us. Jaden Smart, right, on the younger side. Chase, who am I thinking of? Chase, what's Chase's last name?
Casey Bernard is going to be there. Dude. Jace Allred is going to be there. Taylor Allred is going to be there. I'm looking forward to seeing Tace Morgan. I think those guys are going to be battling big time. You're going to have a ton of kids in throughout the 80 classes, the 125 classes, like Grayson Townsend. Of course, he's local. He's from like 30 minutes away. All those guys are going to be mixing it up. And then you also have the Brough brothers. Don't forget. You've got not one, not two, but three Brough brothers that are going to be in the A class and a $9,000 pro purse that is up for grabs. You know those boys are going to dust off the boots. They mostly spend time prepping the track and ready to go. All that means is they know every single inch of it because they basically created it. You're going to be going up and down the hills of Mesquite MX, deep rutted tracks. And the reason why it's deep and rutted is because that's, if you haven't noticed, Supercross has kind of even gone that way with the rutty conditions. Outdoor Nationals, like, you and I don't belong out on that track. Literally the slot car sections that are the jump faces of some of those jumps, I have no business being on that. But if you ride in Mesquite or the RMX series at all, that's what's going to prepare you for it. That's what's going to get you ready to turn pro and do it just like Pierce Brown, just like Marchbanks, just like Chance Hymus. All three of those guys born, raised, and bred through the RMX series. And the World Mini is not part of that series, but it's at one of the tracks And it's sort of the crown jewel of the Verb Shred Tour. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm so glad that you get to be down there doing your thing. I'll be watching from afar, but it'll be good. I'll be watching time qualifying. And is there a race broadcast that I can listen to? Maybe a ham radio
for you, brother?
Yes,
sir. A nice FaceTime call to your good buddy Zach,
and I'll make sure
you feel just like you're there.
That sounds cheap.
Absolutely, yeah.
International all day FaceTime call. Okay.
Yeah, you get those charges, right? Just double checking before we do
that.
100%. You get
that.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll just invoice Mesquite.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect. And so, no, it's going to be a ton of fun, man. And like you said, this race is special. I mean, because everything very similar to kind of the competition that you're seeing out at Loretta's nowadays. It's like everything from the 50s to the A class, you've got the best of the best. You've got people from all over the country making the trip out, because with a name like World Mini and the weight that this event has carried over decades now at this point, this is not one that you want to miss. To be able to say I got a title out at World Mini, that impresses sponsors, that impresses manufacturers, not to mention it impresses everybody at school back on Monday or in the on-track school seminar or whatever you got going on. But nonetheless, this is a big one on the calendar. And so, and I think that's the thing that you see for me. I'm fortunate enough to be doing some Loretta's qualifiers as well, where those are instances where the riders have to perform. And so even your A guys, where they're like, man, I don't want to risk it. I don't know how much chance I want to take at an event like this. Absolutely not. The gloves are on, the revs are up, and the gates down, as our man Weege likes to say, because everybody wants to be taken home that number one plate. Everybody wants to be taken home the trophies. I mean, the whole event is just an experience. And like you said, while it may be arguably the crown jewel, it is the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the 2024 Verb Moto Shred Tour, baby. We got Verbadilla May 18th and 19th. That one is where the bromance began. Dude, it's going to be so cool. What other opportunity do you have to race the Yona Della track out there? My man JJ, I'm doing the accent, man. Every time I talk about it, I slip in the JJ.
Jesus, man.
He's off on a beach sipping Mai Tais right now. But nonetheless, he's with us in thought. And I'm excited. I'm not 100% confirmed yet. But nonetheless, you can 100% confirm whether or not you'll be there by getting ready for it. May 18th and 19th, block off the weekend and be prepared to be up in New Berlin, New York. A little bit of off-road, a little bit of moto, part of that J-Day series. They got some great stuff going on over there. But then way over on the Pacific Northwest, we've got Verbapalooza out at Washougal. Still the number one track on my national checklist, but another situation entirely. But I think arguably as big as Verbapalooza, Brad, and you could agree to this, is the Pit Bike Straight Rhythm, right? It's the side event that has created its own identity and become this monster that we can't control. 100% straight rhythm.
Bring back pit bikes in general. Bring back, dude, like the Sano systems. Bring back me, like, I want the Red Barons back.
Yes.
I want like $10,000 like CR, like they bore them out to like 150s at some point.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, I want that era to come back.
Yeah, I think it is, man. You've got a ton of great stuff going on when it comes to the world of pit bike racing and pit bike.
You know, Carson Brown's going to be there on the BBR, whatever it's going
to
be.
Exactly. I was about to say, I mean, that guy, as I've now seen, I've watched him race decades of different motorcycles. I've watched him race different colors, different sizes, different powers. I don't know what you could put the guy on that he's not going to excel at. And so, whether it's in the woods, whether it's on the track or just in a straight line, Carson Brown hauls ass. But nonetheless, that is going to be June 15th and 16th. You need to go ahead and start making plans to be out there for that as well, because a legendary event. Wasn't able to go last year, but man, just the stories I was told, it's pretty crazy. Not to mention, of course, you get to race Washougal. So that's a pretty huge draw for me. But man, it's a ton of great stuff going on. I am getting packed up after this. I got to put the final touches on the suitcase and then get ready to head out to Vegas, man, because World Mini is going to be awesome for sure.
Do you fly tomorrow?
Fly her out first thing in the morning tomorrow.
Are you the guy, like, are you like me, like packing like at like 11 p.m. the night before? Or are you, you're way ahead?
No, dude, I'm like a... And I was the same way with my motocross gear as well. Like, I'd pack like the week before the event, and I probably repacked like twice at least already.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking everything back out, start over. All right, I need to move this over a little bit. And I'm also trying to obviously keep it under that 50-pound limit. But I don't know if you've looked at the weather, and maybe Vegas is always like this, but the fluctuation is pretty crazy. Like, it's supposed to be like mid-80s when I get there tomorrow, and I think Thursday as well. But then Saturday, it's supposed to be like in the 50s for the high. So,
really?
Yeah, I got to pack a little bit of everything. So just trying to be as prepared.
It does get cool at night, so make sure you bring a wee big hoodie or something like
yes.
that.
Yes, absolutely. We can ship that out to the track and be waiting on me as well. It's going to be fun, man. I'm excited to see the weather, the track. I mean, the entire facility is legendary in its own. So, I'll be pretty starstruck right from the get-go.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Like I said, guys like Tace Morgan, who is all the way, if I'm not mistaken, he's East Coast boy. And like, he even knows that the West Coast, the best coast. If you're going to impress some sponsors, go out there and do exactly that. The keeper's going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now it is time for a little Arena Cross run back. We haven't talked Arena Cross for a couple of weeks, so they took that week off, but the series has come to an end. Amazing series, tip to tail. Like, they sold you the entire couch, but you only needed the edge because throughout the entire year, it was scintillating racing back and forth. But Kyle Peters, he ends up getting it done. He had a nice 8-point cushion rolling into it. The race itself in Vegas ended up being a little bit uneventful in the fact that Kyle was definitely playing things a little bit safe. He was definitely making sure that he had Brees within arm's reach. They matched up together in the heat race. Obviously, they're together in the main events. They kept it cordial. There was maybe one little incident where they kind of like traded a little bit of paint, but nothing compared to what we saw with Jacob Hayes and Kyle Riegel back in the day. That was maybe Arena Cross with a megaphone attached to it. A great end to his season and a fifth championship for Kyle Peters. Tell me about it.
Man, it's first and foremost, right? Before we get to the end, we got to take a look at the whole picture, right? And a huge congratulations to everybody involved and coming into this industry now and starting to get to meet the behind the scenes people, people like Danny Stute, people like Sean and Robbie and everybody that helps put on these incredible events. Man, it's a labor. All right. And it's a labor of love. They work hard to try to create fun events for not only the riders to enjoy, but for us to enjoy as well. So I think this has probably been one of the most popular years for Arena Cross in a long time. And there's been a ton of people talking about this championship battle, us being, just a couple of them. It seems like everybody, even the pro Supercross and motocross riders, they're watching, they're tuning in. Levi Kitchen, he
sometimes
was at Daytona when I was there. That's what I mean. They're hanging out, they're watching it. And then, like you said, yeah, some of them throwing their names in the ring as well towards the end of this season and getting a little taste of the action. But an incredible season, and it caps off it in a good way. I think there were definitely some people looking for that Hayes Regal style finish up in smoke, emotions boiling over. There's a certain almost monster truck attraction to that. Is it's like, as much as you love to see the monster trucks do what they want to do, there's something kind of badass about watching them crash too. And so I think you get a little bit of that emotion in Arena Cross, but at the end of the day, these guys, yes, exactly. And so especially in Arena Cross, it gets tight, it gets personal in a hurry, but we've got two extremely classy contenders for that title. Ryan Brees and Kyle Peters, man, it's been a long road for those guys. And Kyle has said multiple times now, this has been the toughest of his championships as far as the work that he's had to put in for it, the struggles that he's had to overcome as well. And a lot of people talk about the physical side of it, the injuries, but there's no way you can sit there and say this guy wasn't having some mental doubt, right? He wasn't sitting there going, man, I gotta figure something out. I gotta raise the level up and show why I'm the champion. And he was able to do just that, extremely skilled riding, but extremely smart riding as well. Something that you and I and several people have pointed out though, in that finale, they were in the heat race together. Your top two transfer to the main event. KP just back there stalking Ryan Brees. And I think it was an interesting statement as to the mindset of Kyle coming into that final round. Kyle makes the pass. And a lot of people think, okay, well, what's the problem? Make the pass. You're leading the race. That's a good thing. It is. But what he does is he opens that door up for Ryan Brees by doing it. And
right.
I think there's a huge level of respect that has to be given to Ryan Brees for not doing it like that.
Oh,
all right.
Sure.
At the end of the day, these riders are
team up.
Yes, they're professionals at making passes, and you best believe they're professionals at putting you down on the ground if that's their desired outcome, all right? Like Vince Freese, okay, perfect example. The guy's got it down to an art form, and that art form comes in handy a lot in Arena Cross Ryan definitely could have done it, but he didn't, right? He goes, he puts his laps in. He does exactly what he could do. Go out and win the race. Focus on what you're able to handle and let the other cards fall where they may. For him, you know, it was Ryan Breese won the battle. Kyle Peters won the war, right? He got those final race wins, but it was just too little too late. Some of those late race mistakes a couple weeks ago in Daytona, probably haunting him in the back of his head. But all in all, both of these riders got to hold their head up high. The entire top five, you know, Isaiah Clark jumping up there, Kyle Bitterman. I mean, all of these guys, they got to walk away with their head held high, because it came down to the final round of this Arena Cross Series. And so great action. Like you said, maybe not quite the bar banging crazy stuff that we've seen earlier in the season for Arena Cross, but a good hard fought race. Some clean, hard racing from our top competitors, and ultimately the feather in the cap of a fantastic 2024 AMA Arena Cross season.
Absolutely, it was. And I think when it comes to Ryan Breese, he didn't lose this championship in February or March. I think he's probably looking back to the beginning of this series when he honestly kind of had one foot in, one foot out, when a couple of those second races, I don't know, like, I'm sure he put in a full effort, but maybe not as much urgency because his plans were Supercross. Those plans changed, but he did give up and he hemorrhaged major points in a couple of those races. Points that would have come in handy towards the end of this year. And if we learned anything there, is that every single point in Arena Cross counts. And yeah, it's a great series. It's a great championship, and all those guys will be lining up again. My question to you though is, obviously Ryan Breese, his focus was to come into Supercross this year. Next year, do you think that he makes another swing at Arena Cross, or like, because he's been racing all over the place. He's been known to do the German series. He's been known to race Arena Supercross as well and be successful in it. He puts it in the main pretty quickly, pretty easily. Like, do you think that he just like refocuses himself and goes back to the big stadiums?
Man, it's a good and an interesting question as well, because there's had to have been a lot of change in perspective for Ryan Breese, I feel like, over this series, because like we said, he was kind of using the Arena Cross as a warm up, right? As a little race pace check, try to figure out exactly where he's at. Next thing he knows, he finds himself in the midst of a title battle. Now, one thing I will say that I like, it impresses me. Maybe some people look at it as a lack of focus, but when Ryan was in this title fight, you still saw Ryan Breese on the line of Supercross. You still Yes. saw him lining up on those off weekends and racing the Supercross. So I think that alone shows maybe where his primary focus is, right? Maybe where the passion is. As much as I hate to say it. Yeah, exactly. He's a racer, and that's what I like. The guy's chasing gate drops, and he's not running away from competition, all right? It's one thing to be in a title fight and then go to a smaller series on the off weekend. No. He's going up a series and racing those guys on arguably tougher track conditions and steeper competition. So I think that's a huge props that Ryan deserves. As far as what next year looks like, I think finances are going to come into it. I don't know what his options are looking like. You know, I think he's got a good thing going with the team that he's on right now. He seems very comfortable on that machine as well. I think there's got to be a ton of question marks. Like you said, though, it'd be one thing if he wasn't making mains, if he just couldn't put it together in Supercross, but he can. And so where is that line at? You know, you see a lot of different riders kind of trying to find the balance between doing this Arena Cross series. Then when do they make the jump to Supercross? What does that jump look like for them? Is the success there on the back end? Is it not? You know, we've seen Kyle Peters. He's dipped his toes more than a couple of times into the Supercross world, maybe even arguably started there and moved over into Arena Cross. Jake,
250, you know, Supercross podium.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the guy has got what it takes. And I think anytime anybody tries to slight our Arena Cross competitors, that's what I bring up, is I'm like, hey, wait a second. The arenas might be smaller, but these guys are top level athletes and can go and go toe for toe with any of these guys on a lot of other tracks, outdoors or Supercross.
For sure. Arena Cross is a different discipline.
Yes, it's a different
dirt bike
beast.
Racing. There's Absolutely. Motocross, there's Supercross, and there's Arena Cross. And I think they have different skill sets. Yes, of course, they're similar obstacles, and obviously like there are similarities, but I think there's a specific skill set and a specific athlete that's like the AMA Arena Cross is as elite as it gets when it comes to professional racing, and these guys proved it, whether it's Isaiah Clark, Kyle Peters, Yeah, Kyle Bitterman, all those guys competed extremely well, and I'm excited for next season. Congratulations for the five-time champ. Let's move on to the Race Tech Suspension and Engines Block Pass, and this was one hell of a block pass. And he was like, it broke his own heart. Like, this is how bad of a collision this was in St. Louis. Justin Barcia goes bowling, and he ends up getting himself a strike when he comes in contact with the 18 machine, puts him on the ground. And here's the thing that stuck out to me. Barcia didn't even go down. Like,
well, and you look at the angle that Barcia's got coming into that corner. The impact to stand him up like that is, yeah, I can only imagine. I'd love to see pictures of the bikes between that, because I know it wasn't just the bodies that collided, but yeah, both of those guys, I know they got to be pretty damn stiff this week, because that was ugly. And
how
and
you not, could like, see break a fork leg or like bend a radiator, like those guys, literally that's two 200 pound motorcycles with 170 pound guys on them, just like collision. That was
and it was ugly. I mean, you know, I really there for a minute, I was like, oh no, like this, that could be it. Like, as hard as that hit was, if somebody said, oh, he broke a femur, oh, he broke an arm, like, I would be like,
he easily had a busted groper after that one.
And so, I think it's unfortunately another one of those situations where it's wrong place, wrong time, but it's like, of course it's Barcia. Like, it just, again, did Justin do it on purpose?
Of course it's Barcia. Absolutely because not. Of Freeze, though, too.
Defending like Freeze. Exactly. Like, those two guys, and then the red flag incident, you know, that was Freezy as well. And so it's just like, it just never fails. It wasn't those riders' fault. And I think, obviously, Justin's put out a statement now. I can't imagine the kind of hate that he's been getting, as if he doesn't get it enough.
Yeah.
You know, it just, again, a little bit of a distasteful part of our sport. But, man, ultimately, it's one of those things. I've seen a lot
That's
of comparisons.
Sport, though. Like,
well, yeah. Like, and
a guy,
I mean,
a receiver
a lot of ways,
drops a pass, and he's got a million tweets of guys who, like, lost their fantasy week, or, like, they lost their bet because of it. Like, it's...
I lost my house and wife and kids because of you.
Exactly, because you dropped a football. Well, maybe not bet on sports ever.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know. But, and so I think it's a bummer. I've seen it compared to the Dungy Stewart crash. I saw a video somewhat compared to the Bowers Webb crash, where Bowers came in super hot, you know. And so, man, it's a tough impact, but good thing they're both tough dudes, you know. I mean, I'm sure Jet's sore, but as far as I've heard officially, now I damn near fell for an April Fool's joke yesterday that said his arm was broken, like, fell for it hard, so whoever the hell that was, you got me. But nonetheless, as far as I know, I think everybody's good, and, you know, get back on the bike, get healed up. I hate to say it, but I think Jet could, you know, probably go a week without riding and not stress about it too much.
A year, probably. He's doing good. But yeah, for those who haven't checked out Race Tech Suspension Engines, first of all, they do amazing work on both sides of things. They have dedicated technicians who are certified by Race Tech, trained by Race Tech, to be able to, like, whether it's a KYB conversion kit for your KTM, like I plan on doing, that air stuff needs to come off my bike ASAP. Or if you're just trying to, you're just getting your seals changed, your oil changed, and get some service. Race Tech is the company to get it done. Gold valves, increased bottoming resistance, and plushness. Who doesn't like a little bit more plushness?
Plush.
More cushion for that pushing. Let's wrap up the race real quick here. We got 5 minutes left here in the Power Hour. I'm going to send it off to one of your favorite tunes. Much like that, I didn't change my lead topic for the 250s. The kitchen was gone. It wasn't even a competition. He didn't, like, he dealt with Beaumaire for like 15 seconds at most. Otherwise, he had clean track. The only people he passed was Lappers.
Yeah, they, it looked like Beaumaire was going to give him a little bit of a fit. I said, hold up, let him cook. Kitchen cooked the competition, man. I mean, this is dangerous. I'll put it like this. This reminds me of when he kind of flashed on the scene at Loretta's. Yeah. Where you were like, who is this kid in Moose Gear on this Yamaha just kicking ass out
What's
of nowhere?
Wrong with Moose Gear?
Not a damn thing. That's what I'm saying. I think it helped his horsepower. But nonetheless, clearly this switch to the green machine as well. He's feeling comfortable. He's feeling, I mean, just like a whole different rider, you know, and I think it's good. Strange to say that is it's like, man, the guy just seems to be clicking on a whole nother level right now. So,
oh yeah. And in Kitchen's the press conference good. Afterwards, he's like, he's literally rubbing his hands yes. together about the East West shoot showdown.
Yes.
I mean, we're not allowed to say shootouts anymore. But yeah, let me get at those guys. Let me see.
Well, and that's what I mean. When you start seeking it, right? When you start, come on, bring it to me. Mm. That's when, it's going to be fun to watch for sure. I think it's going to be, I just hope everybody stays healthy, right? Let's not get a little too carried away with it. But at the same time, give me a barn burner. All right. Let's see a showdown, you know. Not turn into a shootout, but you know what I mean. I want it action packed. All right. So
I would love, and like, you know, I grew up on Cowies. I love my pro circuit boys. Two red plates. If you had McAdoo and Kitchen out front, red plates, Kawasaki, like I would do the double champagnes. Yeah,
the Mitch double the bottle. I love it.
No, I'd be looking good.
It's looking good, man. RJ,
not
man,
getting it done.
Yeah, it's just not enough. I mean, and it's not that he's riding bad. It's just he's not riding well enough. And so got to be a frustrating spot to put it in. You know, unfortunately for RJ, it's been he's got the speed. He just can't keep it off the ground. Fortunately, he's not on the ground right now, but it's the speed. It's just not there. It's you know, bad starts. It's not being able to execute when he needs. And he is watching this championship slip away now. You know,
that was Mosman down too, by the way. Yeah. Just watching from the sidelines.
A tough one. I mean, Bobby Reagan probably, I want to say he's scratching the head, but I also have enough understanding as to how good Mosman is. Not to mention, mm-hmm. I think Bobby's probably had his fair share of, hey, you got to believe in this kid a couple races before they execute. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely tough to really not get to see him do what he's capable of doing. But I do, someone who's finally starting to step up to the plate, show what they're made of, our boy Joe. You know, I think it's about
going on here late.
Time. Yep, it's about time. Might be a little too late, but get the confidence up and get ready maybe outdoors. You know, we really
get
comfortable.
What I'm seeing from Joe Shimoda is he's not satisfied. Like he's on the podium. I think, it was a third overall, I think, second overall, either way. Like, he's not happy with that spot. He wants to be winning. He wants to be leading, whether that's, like, stems from the pressure that he feels from those who he races with, or that it is on his team and people in his camp, or he himself just wants to get to that next level. He's not there, and he wants to be. Let's move to the 450 class quickly, because we got, like, 2 minutes left here before I got to get to a meeting. 450 class. Tomac is back, question mark, and then I put him in an absolute pretzel in the press conference.
Yeah, you did. You got the hard hitting.
I made him crack
out of it. We do know.
Did I break him?
You might have. Hey, I think he heard you were back before the event even started, and he was like, "Well, I got to be on the top step if B-Rad's going to be asking the questions." And so, it's been no secret that you break a little sweat on the brow for it, man. I mean, you know, Jet. He doesn't quite have. You know, Jet's not a hockey player. All right, we know if it comes down to it, you'll scrap. And so,
yep.
You know, Brad's got Tomac on the edge game, and I think he likes it. He performs well on the back foot. He's ready to strike, and so we'll see. As long as Brad keeps going to the meetings after the race, then Tomac should keep doing well.
We'll get some gold. We'll get some gold from Tomac. I asked him about, like, how do you prepare week to week? The soft conditions got to be tough to know what to work on.
All right, fine, Brad. I'll tell you what happened. I got hurt.
Yeah,
all right,
he's like,
you drug it out.
Yeah, I've been struggling, and I messed up.
Here's the real story. I was like, oh man, he broke him.
I just like,
yes. And so, Red Cross Gate, man, that one's tough. I'm going to be honest.
I wouldn't have seen it.
And I think it is the responsibility of the AMA and the officials to start to take into consideration the line of sight for those riders. Look at the way the lines are developing. I'm sorry, Jeremy Albrecht. I watch your kids race weekly. Okay. Yeah. They're great racers. You clearly know what you're talking about as well. Like, you haven't had enough experience. They can say, hey, if it's a corner going this way and the line's over on the far side and you're just, and that's another thing. This is going to be my, actually, since we're short on time, my Vintiplate rant, wave the damn flag. I don't give a shit what flag you've got. Wave that damn thing.
Yeah, that one paid, needed to get waved. That
whether
needed
it's
to
a
be
checkered
like,
flag,
and they've
a
been
red
able
cross.
To do that before, yes. And that's not exactly. Totally new.
Dude, American flat track that mofo, and I want the back bent over. You're going so crazy with it.
Can
but
we bring
especially,
back the hop, like the finish line hop, like the finish line flagger used to actually like jump when the
yeah,
when
that's would, what I'm talking I about, where that. They'd go crazy. Exactly, yeah. And that's what I mean.
Bring some athleticism back to that position.
Especially for a safety flagging like that. Dude, you need to be getting people's attention. Like, I'm sorry. I think that guy needs a pay doc for that particular instance because, man, that was a shitty job. And quite honestly, if I was Vince Freese, I'd have looked up and been like, really?
Yeah.
Like, you,
the rider shouldn't have gotten docked. The flagger should have gotten docked.
The flagger should have gotten docked. Exactly. Yeah. That's my
dock
opinion.
Flag.
Hot take.
He should have had to pay for his own rental for that rental car for that particular weekend and only that weekend. We'll be back to the Power Hour next week. After you fly a red eye, my vented plate, let it all out, vent session rant for this particular episode is that we never have enough time for these due to the rigorous meeting schedule here over at Verb. And now, without further ado, this is Out at the Ranch by Zach Heron.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the whispering. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times this 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.
It's time to get it.
Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times. This 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do